favorite radio, IRIB English Radio. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. But for the time being, please accept our electronic QSL card as verification. Wish you all the best. And the last but not the least is an email from Arild Skalmeras from Norway. Arild says, I am an avid radio enthusiast, enjoying both listening to and catching the signals of radio stations from other parts of the world on medium and shortwave. I can receive the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on several frequencies on shortwave. I have been listening to foreign radio stations on short and medium wave for many years. Nowadays, I can, of course, listen to many radio stations from around the world on internet with excellent quality, but I still enjoy listening to short and medium wave radio. Thanks for your consideration, and I look forward to hearing from you again. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Arild Skalmeras from Norway, and please accept our gratitude to you for this email. So, you have been listening to foreign radio stations on short wave and medium waves, which is very interesting. I do agree with you. I mean, the traditional way of listening to radio, which most people like, and good to listen that you have several frequencies on short wave. So, Arild Skalmeras from Norway, thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you and listening to your views about IRIB English radio programs, and please accept our EQSL as verification. And before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 6, 2022, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitude to those of our great listeners who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Eddie Witanto from the Philippines, Matej Kurpel from India, Krister Brandstorm from Sweden, MD Abdul Mutin from Bangladesh, Muhammad Khaku from the US, Avinash Primraj from India, and Arild Skalmeras from Norway. Please be in touch with us and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programmes. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين
And he said, My Lord, grant me authority and join me with the righteous.
Dear listeners, brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, you already know we have reached the 83rd verse of this chapter. رَبِّ هَبْ لِي حُكْمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ Prophet Abraham continues, وَجْعَلْ لِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ وَجْعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَثَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ And ordain for me a goodly mention among the posterity and make me of the heirs of the Garden of Bliss. These are how Prophet Abraham supplicates to his Lord. In some Islamic narrations, the Quranic phrase لسان صدق mentioned here has been rendered into the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, what does Prophet Abraham ask Allah? And he continues his important demands. So he humbly asks Allah to treat with him in a way that his remembrance may remain in minds and his line and program would continue among the later generations. وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ So, except for the possible interpretation that we mentioned about لِسَانَ صِدْق, this is a kind of a goodly mention. This is the kind of good remembrance. He wants him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make him such an example that others follow him. And he should be the founder of a school by which people can learn the correct way and move on his line. That is why he is asking the Lord, لسان صدق. And elsewhere, the Holy Quran says that Allah accepted the supplication of Abraham. And he says in the Holy Quran about Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and say we assigned unto them a high and true renown. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيَّ
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
فَبَدَا وَضِيئًا كَالنُّجُومِ تَأَلُّقًا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
About this verse, وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ, and ordain for me a goodly mention among posterity, it is not improbable that this demand contains the same thing that Abraham asked Allah after building the house of Kaaba, when he said, "Our Lord, raise among them an apostle of their own to recite unto them your revelations and to teach them the book and the wisdom and to purify them." This is the 129th verse of chapter Baqarah. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And we know that this demand came into action when Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, announced his call, and by this way, the good mention of Abraham, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, continued to be among this great nation. Anyway, up to now, we learned what to ask from the Almighty Allah. One of the things that we really need is a goodly mention among the posterity, among the people that are yet to come. So it is really important to take the people to come into account. It is really worth mentioning and worrying about how the people of the next generation will judge about what we did in our time. لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And this is the demand of a very righteous, divine man. They both want to be popular in this world and hereafter as well. لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Because they know they are in need of the remembrance of the people in this life. Because the human beings are not going to be completely dead and the doors between this world and hereafter closed after death. No, they are still in need of good deeds in this world. And one of the good doors that the Almighty Allah has set open for the people after death is that the others do righteous deeds for them and instead of them in this world. And lisan sidq, good remembrance, goodly mention, is one of them. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Sister Rehana Kazemi. She has done Bachelor's of Science in Applied Psychology. She's a researcher in the Hafsa Ilmi of Qom, and her research right now is on best trainers and coaches for students in non-Islamic countries with Islamic perspective. A very warm welcome, Sister, and Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much.
Well, you're in the program Islamic Upbringing today, so let's start with the upbringing itself. What is Islamic upbringing as per you, and when does that start exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to all my listeners. I will say for the best upbringing, or for the Islamic upbringing, it starts from the selection of spouse.
All right.
When you start to looking for a girl, or you start to looking for a boy, you have to keep in your mind what are the certain criteria that Islam emphasizes. So Islam advocates choosing of a wife or husband based on moral characteristics.
All right.
The Holy Prophet says, marry into a decent family, for genes have effects. He is also reported to have encouraged Muslims to marry virtuous women in order to have virtuous children. He has condemn those who look only for wealth or beauty when choosing a spouse.
All right, so, but when we go out to choose a spouse, the beauty is the first thing that we look for, and then wealth, definitely, and the criteria that we were supposed to avoid. But you're saying that's not what we should be looking for. The criterion is different.
Yes, because if we want a good offspring, then we need to look what Islam said for a good wife and what Islam said about the good husband. Right. So girl should always need to look like she select a person who is polite, and a man always like keep in his mind that if he's looking for a girl, the beauty is not the standard of Islam and the wealth is not the standard of Islam. Good characteristics are the standard of Islam, and if a woman had a good characteristic, definitely her children has the good characters as well. So that's very important. If you are looking for a good spouse, you always keep in your mind whom may we select a spouse with, what standards and what sort of qualities and what characteristics.
All right. So the first thing that you are trying to tell over here that plays a major role in upbringing is the selection of a spouse, and selection of spouse should not be on the basis of wealth, the good looks. You're saying the good characteristics, like the guy should be polite, you said. Should the beauty be completely ignored or not? Let's discuss that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Sister Rehana Kazemi, who is talking about upbringing. Sister, you said the best time to start upbringing, Islamic upbringing, is to select a spouse. And before going to the break, I told you that should beauty be completely ignored or not? So, but I think we have many sources, we have many narrations saying that beauty should also be there, but it should not be a major characteristic that we should be looking upon. Well, coming to our main topics, we have certain questions from the audiences, and I would want to start with those. There is a mother who says she has a 13-year-old, and the 13-year-old is very, very disobedient. And how could she help this issue?
I think this is a very common issue, especially in non-Muslim or European countries, that children are very disobedient, and not only in the European or non-Muslim countries, even though in our Muslim families as well. So I will say, first you need to figure out what is the basic point of disobedience, because I am not going to say that disobedience starts in the age of 13. Mm-hmm. This starts from when your child starts like walking, or when he's able to understand that what are you saying, to avoid this thing and do this and do not.
When
do
you
this.
Start ordering do's and don'ts to a child.
The disobedience and obedience start from that age. I will give an example. When a child is eating a sweet, and mother always is like worried, if you are eating too much sweets, you will not be able to eat your dinner. It's no point to go on the dinner table because your stomach is already filled with sweets. But when she will try to speak to the child, if she will say in a bossy way, you are not eating more sweets.
That's it.
Yeah. The child will never listen to her. And if a mother will try, that she will make to understand her child that this is not good for your health. And if you eat more sweets, you will not be able to eat dinner. So the more sweet you eat, that's more harmful for you. I will think disobedience starts from this age because the parents do not try to make realize the children or do not try that tell the reason. What is the reason behind this question? And what is the reason behind this problem? Then children start doing disobedience because they always think we are the boss of the house. And this is the nature of the child. That's why Islam said there are three ages for the children. Age 1 to 7, the children is like your king.
Okay.
And 7 to 14, he is your slave. And 14 to 21, he is your advisor.
Okay.
Because this is a very delicate and sensitive age.
All right.
And a child is like a sponge. His brain is like a sponge or is a, like a blank slate or a blank board. Whatever you want to write on the board or on the slate, you can write. So this is a very delicate age. You can turn them whatever you want.
All
and
right.
When they will grow up, it's very hard for parents
All
to
right.
teach them.
We'll get back to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us. يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. We are with Sister Rehana Kazemi and we are discussing about disobedience. We had an audience question when mother said she has a 13-year-old who seems to be disobedient. But sister, you're telling that this disobedience does not start in the early youths. This has started somewhere very back in the childhood when the child was ordered do's and don'ts without reasons. So you're saying to parents that if you want to stop your children from doing something, give them reasons as well.
Yes.
All right. That's the main important point we reached.
Because children like to know about the reason. If anything, if the parents want to oppose on their children, they will never listen. Because they will say, why my mom is doing this?
All right.
If you will give any reason and any like suitable reason, they will definitely understand. So I think there's the problem of everyone that we just impose our decisions on our children and they do not like absorb.
Without reasons. Okay.
And parents are the main concern of their children. Because if I will say to my child, you are not going outside on your bike, he will say, why? And if I am not telling him
the reason. If I as a mother do not have enough reasons.
Yeah. And if I will tell him because I am concerned about your accident, if you will go on the bike, you are not still confident to ride your bike because you are still a young kid and there's too much traffic and I am a bit concerned of your like health or your bike or maybe you will fall down or something like that, then definitely he will try to understand the reason and he will avoid to do this.
All right. So you're trying to say that we have some parents, for example, if they want to stop their child, they are telling them, I don't want you to be doing this thing. That's it. I'm done with this. I have told you what I wanted to tell you. And that's it. I have no reason to apply. I have no reason to tell you. So this way, a child will turn into a disobedient child as per you. Yeah. You're saying that.
Yeah. If you will tell them the reason and tell them and also tell them if you are not doing this, I am telling you the reason, but if you will do according to your choice, the consequences is upon you.
Okay.
Just make him like to feel that you are a something.
Mm-hmm.
That if you are a something, the consequences are on you because I'm telling you a reason. Then like make to feel him proud or make to feel him that you are a very responsible person since their childhood. Definitely they will listen. Because I also apply these rules on my children. But alhamdulillah.
By giving reasons.
Yes, with reason.
All right. So you have actually applied this policy of providing reasons and then stopping them.
Yes.
And then it worked out for you.
Yeah. And if they do not stop, then tell them, I told you about that. If you will do this, I told you the reason. And I also told you that you are the responsible of the consequences. So now you have to face the consequences. And if he will do this first time and he face the consequences, I'm 100% sure next time, again, when he will try to do this, and you will just remind him or remind her that the first time when you did this, I told you the reason and you was the responsible of your consequences. And I think next time when he will do about, when he will try to do, definitely he will ponder on that.
All right. So next time whenever he will be trying to go again into the stuff, he will just think over it.
Yeah.
And then think, shall I go for it or shall I not go for it? You kind of remind me of the holy book, Quran, which is an instruction book for all Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come up with do's and don'ts with reasons.
Yes.
With reasons, and those reasons show his mercy upon us. That see how he is discussing the reasons, how he is discussing the consequences.
Definitely.
And he's not just ordering us. Otherwise, he was supposed to just order. We could have said, he's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's just supposed to order. But he's supposed
to. Because Islam is the deen of religion and nature. And this is in the nature of your children. When you will, when you tell them that the effects, bad effects, good effects and bad effects of everything, and also try to tell them these are the, like always when you tell the good and bad effects, if you will do this and these are the good effects, and definitely you will get something from your parents, and these are the bad effects, and if you will do this and the you are the responsible of the consequences, and
all right.
And after that, you will have to, like, you, the thing we gave you could be, we will take back.
All right. So you're trying to say that we have to stop our child with reasons. We have to, even if we want to tell them, just do a particular thing, again, with reasons. So everything should be with reasons so that we do not develop disobedient children. Thank you so much, sister, for being us. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, the audience's comments or suggestions, please contact us on englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on the social media websites just by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our programs on our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another program, fi amanillah and God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Everything has been carefully planned for the annual New Year's greetings ceremony to the king. Government officials are all standing in line to perform the tradition of kissing the king's hand. But it seems someone special is absent from the ceremony. Iran is shocked and stunned with the news of a suicide. The suicide of well-known Qajar commander, Colonel Fazlullah. No one knows how the prime minister was notified of what had happened, but everyone saw his hasty exit from the New Year's greeting ceremony. A journey among historical documents.
Part 1.
The first person who arrives at the scene is then Prime Minister Vusuqoddoleh.
His presence at the colonel's house is not that strange. What's strange, though, is that he personally inspects the scene and does not issue the burial permit until the discovery of the colonel's letter before he committed suicide. It's now 9 days since the beginning of the new year, but the colonel's suicide has still not been reported to the public. Finally, after 10 days, Vosoukh allows the coverage of the event, but only Ra'ad newspaper is allowed to publish it, without mentioning a motive for the suicide. You have to look for the answer to the riddle in the note that the colonel had written before killing himself. What is the motive of the suicide? Why does Vosoukh prevent the publication of the news? The answer to these questions invites us to an exciting journey, a journey among historical records and documents. The sky is blue everywhere in the world. People are living in a dreadful sense of calm. A sense of calm which seems different. The calm before the storm. Musical instruments are not turned for love songs anymore. And martial music is a sign that something big is about to happen. The First World War is underway, a war that splits up the world into three separate parts: the Allied powers, the Central powers, and neutral countries. The flames of this partition reach the Middle East very soon. It had only been a few days since this Qajar king, who was only 18 years old, was formally crowned when Iran became the cradle of the greed of the warring sides. Despite that, the young Ahmad Shah's decision was announced by his prime minister. Unfortunately, the royal decree did not work. Declaring neutrality was a false hope and was not even worth the paper it was written on. The British, intoxicated by the scent of Iran's oil, enter the country from the south and occupy Bushehr and Abadan. The roaring sound of the cannons prevents the voice of objection by the Iranian diplomats from being heard. The Den of the Lions formally turns into a battleground for the foxes and becomes a location for the warring sides to test their strength and force. After the Russians attack the north of the country, the Ottomans use this as an excuse to drag the war to this part of our neutral country and Azerbaijan, Kurdistan, Gilan, Hamedan, and Kermanshah traded hands between the Russians and Ottomans on several occasions. There is new word from the Northern Front in Iran, news of the victory of the October Revolution in Russia.
Russia and a number of other countries formed the Soviet Union, and as a first step, they abandoned the war and recalled their forces from Iran. But instead of the Russian pullout serving as a victory for Iran, it serves the interests of the British. And when the Americans join the Allied forces in Europe, the British have no rivals left and dispatch more forces to Iran. The outcome is obvious. Iran is basically occupied by the British. Strange things are heard from different corners of Iran. The price of bread, like the price of foreign currency, is determined by the moment, and the price of wheat and barley has risen 100%. The British have occupied Iran's customs and imposed food and medicine sanctions on the country. They will not allow the distribution of the goods. Most of the imported goods go bad in the storage houses of the customs office or are ravaged by mice. Some of the goods are even returned to the countries that exported them. Poverty and famine are widespread across the country. Officers who are deployed to maintain order in the queues for bread get into skirmishes with the people. The population is suffering from water shortage, and the situation of medicine is even worse. Even in the capital, Tehran, many pharmaceutical products are not available to the people. The World War has ended after 4 years, and the era of reconstruction has begun. Still, the wheels of Iran's economy, a country plagued by famine, will not spin. The power structure does not have the force needed to run the country. And the average survival period of governments does not reach even 100 days. Everything has become entangled, and it seems there is no end to the pain and misery. Even dreaming about the return of tranquility to Iran is difficult. Only a promising spring can save this country, which seems to be suffering from an endless autumn, a spring which everyone is waiting for. Little by little, whispers are heard about the plans the young king has in mind, and it becomes a glimmer of hope in the hearts of the people. Something like a dream, it seems, as the dream of tranquility is coming true. In the end, a powerful government is formed by this man, Mirza Hasan Khan Vosukhotdole. He's a lawyer. Aside from his academic studies, he's also educated in religious studies. He's a well-known political figure who has good relations with the British as well. Mirza Hasan takes over the empty treasury of Iran, a country ravaged by famine. The government doesn't have the ability to gather taxes and even has difficulty providing for its own expenses. The country's military force has practically no efficiency. Safety is non-existent all over the country. Even the streets of Tehran are unsafe. For a post-war and post-famine Iran, he has decided to expand the powers of the government and reform administrations, but this is not possible with an empty treasury. And Iran's neighboring countries are either colonies or staging revolutions or partitioning. But Vosukh sees another option on the table. This place is called Pasqal'e, a village with a pleasant climate, 2 kilometers away from Shemiran, the northernmost part of Tehran. It's a place with hot summers, with streaming rivers and tall trees, which provide you with a cool shade. This place will transform Iran's political history. Vosoughl's decision to get out of the current situation is to establish relations with the West. Of course, among Western countries, England is more interesting to him, a country at the height of its power, the winner of the war, with many interests in Iran. Secret talks begin here, behind closed doors and far from the prying eyes of the media. The British side is represented by this man. Sir Percy Cox, a colonel and an experienced diplomat who's recently been appointed the British ambassador to Tehran. On the other side, these two men represent Iran's negotiating team, and the leader of the team is none other than Vosoughl Dole. The British bring their package of proposals, which they had prepared in advance, to the negotiating table. The Iranian side bargains, and this causes the negotiations to take long and drag into late summer. But finally, the draft of the joint statement is ready. On Saturday morning, newspapers print news of the agreement between Iran and England. Known as the Anglo-Persian Agreement of 1919, the treaty includes 6 short articles. The first article reiterates its support for the independence and territorial integrity of Iran. England emphasizes that it adheres to the absolute respect of Iran as it has in the past. The second article hints at some sort of technical cooperation, interaction with the British to meet Iran's needs in expert fields, turning Iran into some sort of employment agency which forces us to employ and pay British advisors. What can be gathered from the third article is the determination to support Iran's military forces. In truth, the British government gives us permission to have a united army and buy supplies from the British. And in the fourth article, with respect to Iran's depleted treasury, England commits itself to give Iran a loan that provides for the purchase of British weapons and the ability to pay the wages of British personnel in Iran. The fifth article of this agreement focuses on the development of Iran's railroad system. England considers itself responsible in encouraging us to improve our public transportation system. And in the last article of this agreement, England guarantees to cooperate with Iran's customs office, a customs which is managed by the British and is under their direct control. Immediately after the publication of the agreement, criticism of the deal is formed in different parts of the country. Opponents criticize the text of the agreement and express their concerns as to why the agreement was signed in secret. The criticism is directed at an agreement that Vosoughl considers to be the only way out of the current situation for the country. Just 3 days after the agreement is signed, Ahmad Shah leaves Iran for Europe. Under such circumstances, with the absence of the king and the support of the British, Vosoughl Dole becomes the most powerful man in the country.
The elites in society voice their criticism, and the possibility of the protests spreading among the people exists. At this point, at the request of Vosour to calm the situation, Cox offers this note for the media to publish. He dismisses the concerns and calls critics ignorant. He insists the essence of the agreement is the preservation of Iran's independence. After the publication of Cox's letter, Vosour offers his statement to the media. He makes a distinction between the opponents of the agreement and the people, thereby declaring martial law. Imposing martial law gives Vosour the chance to suppress the opposition forces. Newspapers are shut down, widespread arrests are made, warnings are given to religious figures, and a number of opponents are exiled to Kashan. These actions bring back relative calm to the political atmosphere of the country. The calm has been achieved by shutting up critics, but is a fire smoldering under the ashes, a fire that flares up with the news of an event.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be asking a question regarding a famous event that has been related from the Holy Prophet, the life of the Holy Prophet. And the question is regarding the authenticity of this event, whether it's really related in our hadiths or not, whether it is, how authentic is it? In response to this question, first we need to remember the event itself, and then we can talk about whether it's authentic or not. This hadith is about a woman named Zainab, who was famous as Hawla. One day the Holy Prophet Muhammad came to the house of his wife Salma, and he smelled a very beautiful fragrance. He asked his wife whether that woman, Hawla, who was a woman who sold perfumes, whether she had came to the house or not. Salma said, yes, she is here, and she has a complaint which she would like to pose to you regarding her husband. This woman came to the Prophet and said, my husband doesn't come close to me, he avoids me, and he's not paying attention to me. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you should, adorn yourself more and, take care of yourself more. Maybe that's the reason why he's not coming to you. So she said, there is no perfume that exists except that I have tried to use it, but still my husband, he avoids me, he doesn't pay attention to me. So this the Prophet said, in response to this, the Prophet said, perhaps he does not know the reward that he would have if he would pay attention to you. So she asked, what is this reward, O Holy Prophet? The Prophet said, if your husband pays attention to you, two angels will embrace him, and he will be like the person who has taken part in the holy war. He will get that much reward. And, when he pays attention to you, all of his sins will fall from him like the leaves of trees fall from them in the fall. Right, so this is a very beautiful hadith. This hadith, or this event, the sanad, or the chain of transmission regarding this hadith, is weak from the point of view of the science of hadith. Nevertheless, the actual gist of the hadith is true, it's correct. We have other hadiths regarding the same topic which have been related. For example, we have a hadith regarding the necessity of spouses to be clean for one another, to take care of themselves for one another, right? But this specific hadith, to be a bit more specific, the chain of transmission is rather weak regarding it. It's been narrated in the book Miratul Uqul, volume 20, page 304, which is a very good book of hadith, but nevertheless, this hadith itself is kind of, the chain of transmission is weak, and for that reason, the actual event in itself, regardless of whether it really happened or not, we don't have anything to verify whether it did or not. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the event of Hawla and its authenticity. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The first methodology